When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, mate. You're right. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Looking forward to tonight's pod. You got everything prepped and ready?
Yeah, mate. I've got my notes, my equipment's all set up. Yeah, so I'm good to go.
Fantastic. You got your drink. You forgot it last time.
Yeah, I did, didn't I? There's a reason for that, though. I've actually run out of beer, so no beer again for me tonight.
Back-to-back episodes without beer. That's unlike you. How does a free case of beer sound like?
Almost sounds too good to be true, but I suspect you're about to tell me more, Ben.
I am indeed, Mike. Our friends at Beer 52 are offering a free case of 8 exclusive craft beers. Simply go on to www.beer52.com/Vic and simply cover the postage charge of $6.95 to claim your free case now.
Yeah, absolutely. Beer 52 is the biggest beer club in the world, and each month they send their members a case of beer from across the globe. The Beers of the World case features 8 unique beers from 8 different countries, including South Korea, South Africa and Sweden, and that's what is on this month. And it's an absolute belter of a deal. It's not stuff that you'll find in supermarkets, so it's not just off-the-shelf stuff. It really is unique. It's hoppy, it's citrusy, it's tangy. All of the above, tick every box possible because it is there. So make sure you claim your free case now.
Sounds like a fantastic range, Mike. If dark beer is not your thing, you can choose the light only case. And also included is the award winning Ferment magazine, and also get a couple of tasty snacks to go along with your beers too. Even if after all that you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel at any time.
Yeah, head over to all the W's. beer52.com/Vic. That's www.thewordbeer52.com/VIC to claim your free beer now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast. Now, we are usually with you on a Sunday, so this isn't completely out of the ordinary. However, we're not here to talk to you about the 2-1 defeat to Coventry City yesterday. No, we're here to talk to you about Valerian Ismail. Valerian Ismail has been relieved of his duties of Watford FC head coach, and Tom Cleverley has been installed as the interim. His coaches or his backroom staff are to follow. There are rumours floating about today on Twitter, which is Sunday as we record this, that Cleverley's only actually going to be in for the Birmingham game. And then somebody else is going to come in afterwards. I don't know. I've not heard anything, and we'll only wait and see, I suppose. But this is going to be a little bit different to what we usually do. You might be able to tell I'm not on my laptop. I'm doing this. My tripod is set up right in front of me. It's a little bit of a different twist. We couldn't get together, and we couldn't all get together tonight. So you'll be hearing from me and my thoughts, and then you'll be hearing from all the other guys here at Voice of the Vic. So Katie, Ben, Cam and Joe on their thoughts of the sacking of Valerian Ismail. Now, we're all going to answer a question each as well, and the question will appear at the bottom. But for you guys that are listening on podcast, if this does get released as a podcast, I'm going to try and play around, see how far I get. We'll ask the question before we answer it anyway, so it should be nice and easy for you guys. So first things first, my thoughts on the sacking. If I'm totally honest, did I see it coming? 100% I did, because the Pozzos like to pull the trigger. I must admit though, I am surprised it happened after yesterday. We've got Birmingham on Saturday and then an international break, and we know that the Pozzos love sacking during an international break. So I thought it might happen then, but to be quite honest, I think this has been a few weeks in the making. I went onto the Do Not Scratch Your Eyes podcast yesterday and I said that I think he'll go. I'd heard rumours before that wasn't going to be the case. I'm not going to disclose where I heard them from. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but I heard it wasn't the case. So when we heard last night, thanks ITV, by the way, when we heard last night about the sacking, one, I was surprised because it was like 10:15 on a Saturday night. But I think they were maybe pushed a little bit because of the ITV blunder. But yeah, I think it's the right decision? I'll be honest, the others probably are going to disagree with me, but for me, yes. Ben often says in recent podcasts, and I think he said this in not the last podcast, but the podcast before, that we're not going up and we're not going down, so why sack him? That's a very, very good point, and I completely agree. Why sack him if we're not going up or we're not going down? My problem is, as of today, as of right now, we are 7 points above the relegation zone. I genuinely fear that we could go down. You look at the running we've got. We've got Birmingham on Saturday. We've got to be looking at 3 points there. Blues will be looking at it as 3 points because they lost late on to Millwall. And I think they're only above the relegation zone on goal difference. So they're going to be well up for it. And then we've got some horrendous fixtures coming up. We've still got to play Hull at home, Sunderland, Preston, who are flying. I know Sunderland aren't great, but we don't have a great record against Sunderland. Preston, who I say are flying, Southampton, Ipswich. We've got to go to those two. We've got to go to Ipswich and go to St Mary's again. I mean, look, you know, maybe the scale that I'm basing off Southampton was that cup game where a load of players were rested, but still, not really. You know, it's not great. So, you know, we've got some really, really tricky fixtures coming up and some that I am genuinely looking at thinking, where the hell is our next point coming from or next 3 points? I think we need to hit 70 points. So we're still some way off that, but I just cannot see where we're going to get those points from. So for me, yes, I do believe that the decision to sack Val was right, only because of the downward spiral you're on. And you might have a counter argument that the teams below us are worse, but for me, the teams below are at least showing a bit of fight. Look at Huddersfield. We kick-started them. You've got Sheffield Wednesday. Danny Rowles done a great job. Well, not a great job, but he's doing enough to keep them afloat, just. I think they might be in the relegation zone on goal difference, possibly. Stoke won't go down. The only people that I really think are in danger is us. I think Plymouth are in danger as well. And Birmingham could well be in danger this season. They've seemed to sort of escape it by the skin of their teeth the last few seasons, dating back to when Harry Redknapp kept them up on the last day. So, you know, maybe this year is their year, but I have a genuinely big fear that we could go down and we could be playing in League One next season. So for me, as I say, right decision. The question that I've been given to answer is, what did Val do right? Now, we're actually at the 5 minute mark, which I told the rest of the team to keep it about 5 minutes. But believe me, this won't take long. But in all seriousness, I think what Val did do right at the very start of the season, he brought that culture in, didn't he? You know, if you were late, doesn't matter how well you were playing, you're out the team. We saw it happen to Loser. We saw it happen to Kone. He missed his alarm. It wasn't that he couldn't be asked to come in on time. He missed his alarm and he got dropped and he was gutted about it. And it never happened since. Hamer, I think, was late to a meeting as well. I think it's happened, maybe it happened a couple of times with the same players as well. So maybe question marks over why we allowed that to happen again. But I think at stages, I know we had that sort of, we had that great win on the opening day against QPR. And then we sort of plodded along, didn't do great. People were like, oh, bloody hell, Watford are going to sack him. And then we give him a new extension. And then we had that sort of period where we were picking up results and we were looking like we might even sneak through the back door of the playoffs. And I think that real togetherness there, Val brought that real tight-knit, you know, we got a small squad. If anyone hasn't already, make sure you go and check out Andrew French's latest piece. He has his say on the sacking and he obviously knows a lot more than, you know, Tom, Dick or Harry because he works around the club. So he's got some very interesting bits on Val and the transfer window and why we've got such a small squad, etc. I'll not ruin it for anyone. Go and have a look at it. But I just think there were stages this season where we had that team togetherness. where the passion was there. Last season was so crap. The players look half-arsed. And genuinely, at times this season, I've been to Blackburn. We come back there. We come back against Southampton. We come back against Norwich, incidentally, our last home win. We come back against Preston. Bloody hell, 1-0 down and we win 5-1. So, you know, he's given us some really, really good moments. And to start with, that football was there. You know, the high pressing intensity. That Plymouth game, I'm still scratching my head all these months later how we didn't score the home 0-0. We did everything right but put the ball in the back of the net. So, you know, he did bring some genuinely good times. And, you know, I wish him all the best. But I think he started running out of ideas. And we saw that, you know, Batman coming back in. Should Hamer have done better? Probably yes. Did the massive deflection it took off the wall help? Probably not, no. So, you know, I think bringing Batman back hasn't helped. He's made errors in both games that he's come. He gave away a penalty yesterday against Cardiff and then that own goal against Swansea on the Wednesday night. You know, he's not exactly filling the crowd with confidence. So I think he's switched up in formation and the change of personnel in recent games has sort of been like, right, final few rolls of the dice. And it's not unfortunately worked out. But fingers crossed, Klebs, you know, whether he is here for just Birmingham or whether he's here till the end of the season, I would imagine it's till the end of the season. I would hope so anyway. You know, wish him all the best. Hopefully, the reason that we've not announced his coaches yet, hopefully an ex-player, Robbo, isn't managing or coaching at the moment. I do know he is playing in the, for those of you that are bothered, he's actually playing football in the Birmingham and District Football League in Division 1 for Claverden. Now, I only know that because I managed in that league last season. So to see he now plays in it, it's bloody typical because I could have been managing against Paul Robinson. But Robbo, he's available. He knows the club inside out, as does Klebs. Could it be Troy? Could he be coming back in as number 2 till the end of the season? But I think we're in safe hands with Klebs. Yes, there's a lot of question marks. We don't know how he plays. We can't say, well, at this club he played this way and at this club he did this. We only know from the youth, and it seems to have been going well at the for the youth team, but that's not a barometer to properly measure how he's done well, because the youth game and the men's game, completely separate entities, are completely different. So, yeah, you know, I will 100% be behind Tom Cleverley. He's passionate. He knows what this club is about, and he always gave 100% when he was on the pitch. Yes, that might be hard for some people to believe, but maybe the fact that he was getting a little bit older and hampered with a few injuries meant that his 100% wasn't quite what it was in previous years. But yeah, that's enough from me now, because I've gone 5 minutes over what I told the other guys. So their videos will be a little bit shorter, but hey, because I'm hosting this one, I can get away with it, who knows. But if you've enjoyed this video, drop a like. Let us know your thoughts on the Val leaving. And let us know who you want. I did ask the guys to say at the end of their videos who they'd want. To be quite frank, I'm not sure at the moment, because I think whoever comes in, if Mr. Pozzo is still here, they're gonna face the same problems. So for me, you could bring bloody Jurgen Klopp in and we'd still find a reason to sack him, and we'd still find a reason to make his job the hardest possible job in the world. So in terms of who I want, I'm not sure. At this current moment in time, look, if Klebs does well and, you know, gets us a few points and keeps us up, why not stick with Klebs? But we will see. But if you've enjoyed this video, hit the like button, hit that subscribe button. We're slowly creeping towards 500 subscribers, and that would mean the world to us. Let's get there before the end of the season. And also as well, as I record this on a Sunday, there is a competition coming to keep your eyes peeled to celebrate our 200th episode, which was not the last episode, the episode before. We want to thank you guys, the listener, for being there for us from day one, back in June 2020 to now March 2024. So keep your eyes peeled. It's not just going to be Watford FC orientated, the prize either. Just keep your eyes peeled. It's a good one. But yeah, here are the thoughts from the other guys. Stay safe, everyone. Take care.
So, Valerian Ismail, sacked. Are we shocked? I'm going to probably say no, we're not. A lot of fans have been calling for his head over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we've been on a terrible run of late. I know a lot of fans have voiced their concerns and opinions over tactics, results, people starting when they shouldn't, substitutions. There's been a lot of things wrong at the club for quite a while now. It's a shame, really, because I was one that I myself wanted him to stay. All this hiring and firing and stuff, it's just not our club. It's just not what we're about. It's a massive shame. And the big question is, are we back to square one now? I'll probably say yes, we are. You know, we were in the process of rebuilding. Obviously, there was the big clear out in the summer. We know that he got rid of near 20 players. If not, he did get rid of 20 players. We obviously recruited not probably the best over the summer and January transfer windows. Obviously, there's been rumours and things that have been said today saying that Valerian Ismail wanted a couple of players in January. The club didn't get them. He was offered a couple of others. He turned those players down because he didn't feel that they would be best suited for the club. With that, obviously, you know, things have kind of gone downhill since then. We've struggled quite a bit in certain games. Well, I say certain games, most games, to be fair. Since the turn of the year, things have just gone on a massive decline. And yeah, it's hard to see where we actually go from here, if I'm being honest. Can we see somebody good coming in of any quality? I'm being realistic, I don't think so, no. I think it's going to be tough for a manager of any quality to want to say yes to Watford, to want to interview, come in and, you know, just because they don't get any time. You know, most managers want time. Most managers want maybe at least a window or two to do something with a squad. Obviously, you know, Watford, we don't give them that time. Gino doesn't want to give a manager that sort of time. You know, he wants the manager to come in, click his fingers, everything be perfect, we're just not going to get, for me, a quality person through the door. It will probably be someone from maybe a European country overseas that's maybe done a little bit somewhere and won a league, maybe in Moldova or Estonia or something, and yeah, they'll probably do something for a short period of time and then it'll be another one potentially out the door. As I've been saying for a while now, you know, we're always going to come back to this point until Gino goes now, I think. I'm just getting sick and tired of the revolving door. I just want it to close. I want someone to be given time. I'm gutted for Val. I'm gutted for the staff because, you know, he tried. There was a structure. There was discipline. You could see that he was trying to do something, but just unfortunately, it just didn't come off. It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks because obviously Tom's come in he's been promoted to first team manager, interim manager. Obviously, you know, massive club legend. Massive respect for him and looking forward to seeing what he brings. Hopefully he's given to the end of the season and it's not just for one game and we get somebody else in. But yeah, let's obviously get behind him at Birmingham next week. And good luck, Val, for whatever you do in the future. Come on, you Orns.
So, yeah, news broke last night that Val has been sacked after 10 months in charge at Vicarage Road. He leaves the Hornets 13th in the Championship, 7 points above the relegation zone. My initial thoughts were, another managerial change, really. I've really wanted us to last the whole season without making a change, because it's been relentless lately at Watford, hasn't it, with the managerial merry-go-round that goes on. Manager comes, manager goes, not really back to blah, blah, blah. You could repeat it for every season we've had. So Val going doesn't surprise me. I just would have liked to see him have the whole season, but maybe see why he's been sacked. So where did it all go wrong for Val? I think firstly it's working under Gino Pozzo, because he's never going to give the resources or time for him to really build at Vicarage Road the way he maybe wants it to work. So that's where it probably started. But then you look, we did all right leading up to November. Our last home win was against Norwich City on the 28th of November. We were 3-2 win, obviously came from behind in that game, and was 2-0 down. So that's our last league win. And we're in March now, and we've not won a league game since. So you could probably look at that. Away form is better since that Norwich game. We've won twice away from home against Rotherham and QPR. You could argue that those victories probably papered over the cracks, really. The start of play wasn't really exciting. Didn't get bums off seats. You only look back to the Huddersfield game a couple of weeks ago, where the fans were booing after 15 minutes because we were fed up with how they were trying to play it out from the back. So 15 minutes into the game, booing against the relegation side in Huddersfield, and Bale had to make a double substitution after 27 minutes. So you could probably point all your fingers to that. Fans being unrest, home form being awful. Maybe wasn't really backed fully in January as well. Emmanuel Dennis came in. Did he want Emmanuel Dennis? Didn't he want Emmanuel Dennis? We'll never know, will we really, until maybe Val comes out and talks about the situation. I don't really think he wanted Emmanuel Dennis, and I think this was more of a Gino Pozzo signing. He obviously got made available for him, and then he was like, right, okay, here you go, Emmanuel Dennis is your player, get the best out of him. And I think Val's tried to do that. Obviously he wasn't really fit when he came, so but yeah. And then also I think the final nail in the coffin was maybe the Wayne Andrews tweets that surfaced last weekend, wasn't it, regarding Ryan Andrews, because Val came out and said that Ngakia was his number choice right back, and hasn't played Ryan Andrews for a month or so, 6 weeks, and chose to play Tom Dele Bashiru at right back instead. That didn't really make any sense for us, really. When you've got a young up-and-coming player who's doing very well for Watford, not get a chance, and you're playing a centre midfielder at right back. So that I think that was the final nail in the coffin, if I'm totally honest. Obviously, Wayne Andrews came out saying that he wouldn't want his son to be mentally bullied. He later came out and said that he wasn't saying that Val was actually bullying him, but I don't think it made Val look good at all. And it's not a look that a manager wants when you've got maybe players' parents coming out having a go at you. But when you tally up everything I've just mentioned, it's been tailing off for a while. The teams below us are picking up results. Gino's probably looking behind him going, they're making ground a little bit. And I think he's worrying. I do think he's worrying. I think that maybe he thinks that we're not too far from a drop. If the form carries on that we've had from November, and we've not been winning home games, then it's a massive task for Watford to stay in this division. But I fully believe we've got enough to stay up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens now. Tom Cleverley obviously being appointed. Who knows if it's till the end of the season or not. They didn't announce that in the club statement last night. They just said that Tom Cleverley was taken over as interim head coach. I think it could be just for one game, and then you've got the international break coming up. So yeah, It's never dull to be a Watford fan, is it? Always keeps you on your toes. I weren't expecting an announcement at 10 to 10 last night, that's for sure. But I think the ITV highlight show kind of twisted Watford's hands when they announced the sacking before Watford actually did. But yeah, wish Val all the best for the future. And it goes back to the very start. My first point was, where did it all go wrong for Val? And I think it's working under Gino Pozzo. I think every manager that comes through the door at Vicarage Road will fail because of Gino Pozzo.
So I'm sure that we all have seen that Val has been sacked.
Yesterday was a very eventful day on Twitter with the announcement of this sacking. There's been a lot of mixed opinions about if it's the right decision, if it's the wrong decision. Personally, I think that the sacking was the right decision as the results just have not been going our way in the last couple of games. We all know that the root of these results not going our way is not because of Val, it is because of the lack of investment from Scott and Gino and all of the above. So I do feel like it is unfair to place the blame on Val. However, it's clear that it's not working. Either he's lost the dressing room or the players have just decided that they don't like the system of play. I do feel bad for Val. I think when he was here, he brought in a really big change to the club originally. His first couple months were really good. I really enjoyed watching Watford, supporting Watford. He changed the club. However, since January, it has not been like that. And honestly, it feels like we've gone back to how we were last season and the season before that. Personally, I think sacking Val was the right decision as it looks like we might be in more of a relegation battle this year. And it's clear that we're not getting the results that we need and we need to be picking up points wherever we can. We know that the aim of this season was not promotion and we also don't want to get relegated. And it does feel like we are in more of a relegation fight. And if we are in a relegation fight, we need to be picking up points. I think Val was given a lot of time to put things right. He was given 5 or 6 more games than any other manager would have probably gotten. And I do think that the club believed that he could have turned it around. Even fans believed he could have turned it around. However, he was unsuccessful and that led to these poor run of results. With our next run of games, it's obviously proven that it's going to be really challenging for the players and whoever's coming in as manager, whether that be Cleverley or somebody else for the rest of the season. It was clear that Val wasn't going to get these players on board with him anymore and they had made their decisions. If the relegation spots weren't as tight and we weren't as close to relegation, I would have said to have kept Val and just said, like, you know, he's doing a job, he's kept us up, he's not put us down. Anyone you're bringing in is going to be doing the exact same job that he's done. But we need to be picking up points wherever we can, especially with Birmingham being our next game. It's a 6-pointer. After then, I really struggle to see where we're going to actually pick up some points. So hopefully we can get some wins here and there to keep us up. Overall, I do feel like the sacking of Val was needed and it isn't just, oh, sack the manager, move on, sack the manager, move on. He was given time. He was given a chance to turn it around and he hasn't. And that's not necessarily his fault, but he hasn't been able to. So overall, I do believe that the sacking was needed. So hopefully Tom Cleverley can help us get a couple more points on the board and keep us up. He knows the players, so hopefully that will have a big impact in knowing them personally. I don't have any harsh feelings towards Val. I think what he did here in the first few months was amazing. We're not going to ever forget that, but it was time for him to go now. Once you use the dressing room, it's very hard to be picking up points and get the players on board with you, and it was clear that that was what had happened. And just our style of play was really boring, was not making us look attractive. So it was time to move on, and hopefully we see a better style of play in the last 10 or so games.
Valerian Ismail then, he's finally gone after a few weeks of speculation. I've got to say, I'm more angry than I am surprised. I mean, we all saw it coming, didn't we? If it wasn't going to be last week, it'd be this week. And if it wasn't this week, it'd be next week. So, yeah, inevitable that Val has got the boot. Fair play to him for lasting so long, but Gino Pozzo wasn't going to let him go on for the entire season, was he? So, yeah, is what it is. We're on to the next one now, Tom Cleverley. How do I think he'll do? Well, it's a really tough one to gauge, really, because, first of all, we don't know how long he's here for. We know he's the interim. He's the interim manager and he'll get the Birmingham game, but we don't actually know how many games he's here for. Are we going to go and get a new manager in the international break right after the Birmingham game? So who knows? So this Tom Cleverley thing could all be for nothing. But how do I think he'll do if he gets the rest of the season? I don't think he'll do any worse than Val did. I really don't, because, mind you, you've got to remember it is such a tough place to coach at the moment, isn't it? And look, we've seen for years that the football, it becomes turgid no matter who's in that dugout. And look, with all due respect to Tom Cleverley, I have really high hopes for him in his managerial career, but I'm not sure he's going to be the man to turn it round for us. So, look, I think he's got a fairly safe and easy job. I reckon, 3 more points and we stay up for sure. But I want us to do a bit more than that. I want us to have a bit of fun and, you know, let's get those attacking players into the right areas. It's easier said than done, but we could be seeing so much more from Yasser Asprilla and Ken Semmer and Emmanuel Dennis, all of those attacking players. We could be seeing so much more of. So hopefully Tom Cleverley maybe has the understanding to make something tick there. Look, he's got the Sir Alex Ferguson influence. I think that's going to be crucial for him. I'm not saying we've got the next Sir Alex Ferguson on our hands, but it will do him no end of good having that experience working under him. And I mean, you've only got to look at Ipswich Town, Kieran McKenna. He's obviously got that Sir Alex influence as well. So look, fingers crossed we get something a little bit like that. Obviously don't want to jump the gun. I don't think it will be quite that good, but I have hopes for Tom and I really hope it works for him. And look, you're seeing a lot of clubs lately, they sort of go in-house for their managerial appointments. Again, Kieran McKenna and Plymouth tend to do it more often than not. So yeah, look, I think, you know, there is a route there, there is a pathway, and Tom Cleverley knows this club. But look, the important thing about those in-house appointments, they work well because they're spearheaded by the young, hungry, you know, tactically knowledgeable manager, but they've got that experienced background team behind them. They've got that staff that, you know, they know the league and they know the club and they've been around. And for that reason, I want to see people with a bit more, you know, championship managerial know-how on Tom Cleverley's team with him. And I'm looking at Paul Robinson in particular. You know, he coached in the championship this season. He's obviously, you know, very highly regarded at Watford and out of work at the moment. So I'd love to see Paul Robinson, you know, maybe come in as assistant manager. And, you know, he could be the perfect person to help Tom Cleverley thrive in that role. But yeah, hopefully we just see us become, you know, a bit less turgid, a bit less rigid, and get the shackles off, really, because we want to be entertained more than anything. We've got a horrible run coming up and we're not expecting many points for the rest of the season, but let's just, you know, let's compete with these teams. Let's make it difficult for them. Let's not pass it between our defenders. Apologies for that. My phone ran out of storage there and I really can't be asked to re-record the whole thing, but thankfully we have some very capable editors here at Voices of the Vic and I'm sure they'd love to sort me out here, so thank you very much to whoever's editing this. But yeah, as I was saying, I just want to see entertaining football. I want to see us go toe-to-toe with the really, you know, the good opposition that we've got coming up. And I want to feel a connection to Watford, and, you know, isn't Tom Cleverley the man you'd want to make that happen? So, yeah, look, a reason for optimism, but I am struggling to get my hopes up for this one. But nonetheless, come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.